Well, good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. I hope you had a great Christmas and that there's great anticipation in your heart as we head into 2023. I'll never forget my very first week of youth ministry. I'd arrived in Pembroke and had a lot of questions about what had taken place before I had got there. I wanted to get a little bit of an understanding of how everything was set up and how things were going to be run going into the future. One of the questions I had was about my predecessor. I was really curious to know what he was like and what he did. I had a number of conversations, and every conversation about my predecessor, I heard the same story. It was the story of this youth pastor's very first day on the job. He was sitting on the platform, because back in those days, you used to sit on the platform as a staff. And so the podium was right center stage, staff were behind on chairs, and the senior pastor had come to the podium and went to introduce the new youth pastor. The youth pastor came to the podium, senior pastor sat down, and the very first words out of his mouth were somewhere along the lines of, "Man, I sure feel bad about the guys behind me because I had Chinese food for dinner last night and it's really acting up right now." And then he made a gesture that conveyed what he was talking about. In that moment, he was trying to be funny, but it was the first impression that he left with everybody in the congregation and one that didn't get received very well. That first impression marked him for the rest of his ministry, because people didn't take him seriously. It was sad because he only ended up staying at the church for 1 year. You see, we only have one first chance. How we start is so important. Today's January 1st, and you have the opportunity to start a brand new year. I understand that it's just a day like any other day, but there's something mentally significant about beginning a new year. It's allowing us to start again. And I want to talk to you today about how we can start this brand new year. I want you to turn to Psalm 105, verses 1 to 7, or you could just look at the screen and read along with me. It says this: "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he's pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth." Now, friends, you may have just heard that or read along with me and thought that's just another psalm. But David is actually painting a picture of some things that should be in our lives that are very appropriate for starting a brand new year. And I want to look at four things from this passage that we should implement into our lives if we're going to start this year right. The very first thing is praise. David says, "Give praise to the Lord." Right in verse 1, "Give praise to the Lord." The very first thing he focuses on is the idea of praise. Now, praise is more than just singing a song or saying nice things. Praise comes from a place of thanksgiving. You see, in 2023, you may not know what the future will hold, but I guarantee you that there will be some moments of disappointment. There will be some moments that will cause you to complain. You might complain about the economy. You might complain about politics or family or neighbors or maybe your work. Life just has so many frustrations that it's inevitable that there will be some point in this next year where you'll want to complain. But what we become focused on will determine the course of our life. If we focus on the negatives, we will not just complain, but we will become complainers. But if we will focus on the positives, rather than being a complainer, we will become a person of praise. I'll never forget when I was a young junior high student. My dad had told me that he was buying me a Commodore 64. It was the computer to have at that point. And the reason why he had to tell me ahead of time was that my mom had just purchased me a computer that was a little bit inferior to that, a VIC 20. And he wanted me to have the better computer. And so he let me know. And so the day came for my birthday. We were at Natureland Bible Camp, and my uncle and his family were there. And so the moment happened where they were going to give me all of my gifts. And I opened up the box that had the Commodore 64, smiled at my dad, said, "Hey, Dad, thanks so much." And then moved on to the rest of the other gifts. A very underwhelming response. I remember my Uncle David said to my dad, "Hey, what's the deal with Jeff's response? I mean, he just got a Commodore 64. How come he's not freaking out? How come he's not going on and on?" Well, my dad explained that he had told me ahead of time, and the reason why he told me ahead of time, about getting the present. And so I wasn't surprised I knew what I was getting. As I reflected on that story over the years, I thought to myself, you know, I probably should have responded in a different way. I should have responded with more thanksgiving and more exuberance, because while I knew what I was getting and the shock factor wasn't there, I still was receiving this incredible gift. I needed to take a moment to actually reflect on what I'd been given. And if I had have done that properly, I would have been filled with joy and gratitude and appreciation to my dad. You see, daily praise comes out of our gratitude. Friends, I want to encourage you to focus on the things that God has given you this year. No matter what negatives come your way, be a person of praise. Number two, David says that we should proclaim. It says, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Our praise should always lead to proclamation. You see, proclamation is about praising God to other people. Let me give you an example. I just celebrated my 50th birthday last year, and my wife, Ainsley, is fantastic at celebrating birthdays. I remember I woke up that morning of my birthday, came downstairs, and there were streamers everywhere in our house. And I think she had some kind of special pastry and a coffee for me, and she started my morning right. I get to church, and I see the sign where I park is all done up, happy birthday. Then I get to my office, and there are streamers hanging down from my doorway. I get into my office, and there's a birthday card there, and there's a container of candies. She wanted to celebrate me right from the beginning of the day throughout. Then she came by at lunch and took me to one of my favorite coffee shops and took me out for a pastry. Then we went out for dinner, but before we went out for dinner, she surprised the life out of me by taking me for a 20-minute helicopter ride over the city. We had supper at one of the places that I absolutely love to eat at. She got me some great gifts, and we celebrated that evening. Each moment of the day, every time she did something special for me, I took a moment to praise her, to thank her for what she had done. When she did the streamers, I was like, "Thanks so much for doing this." When she left me a card with some candies on my desk, I texted her, "Thank you so much for this." After the helicopter ride, I thanked her for it. But I didn't stop at the praise. You see, what she had done was so incredible, I found myself bragging about her to everybody. I kept telling people what she had done. I would start off saying, "Man, my wife is so amazing. She's so creative. She did this and this and this." And I proclaimed how amazing she was. You see, you may struggle to evangelize. You may think that you don't have all the answers for the people that you're trying to reach for Jesus. But the truth is, evangelization starts with us telling our story. It's about proclaiming who God is and bragging upon all the things that he's done for us. All the incredible things, by telling other people about how amazing he is. When people hear our stories about God, they'll be drawn to him. I want you to think of that story in John chapter 4, where Jesus is in Samaria and he begins to talk to this woman at a well. This woman is there at the peak of the heat of the day, at probably around lunchtime. Nobody came to the well at that time, but she's a person of shame. She has a sordid past. She's got all kinds of stuff that people know about, and she doesn't want to be made fun of. She doesn't want to be shamed anymore, and she's at this well. And Jesus starts to kick up a conversation with her, which is so rare. He broke so many protocols to reach out to this lady. And he offers her eternal life. And he speaks some things into her life that she couldn't know. And as he is showing her incredible love, the disciples start to come back with the bagels that they had gotten for lunch. And John tells us that this lady starts to make her way through the village. And what John captures is this. She goes through the village and she says, come and see a man who told me everything that I have ever done. Could this be the Messiah? Did you catch that? Before she declares that this might be Jesus, the Messiah, that this might be the one that God has promised for so many years, she says, come and see somebody who's told me everything that I've ever done. She proclaims the magnificence of the person that she's just met. And as she shares this with people in the community, they come to see Jesus based upon her story. And when they get there, they find out that he really is the Messiah. Friends, in 2023, there are people in your life who need Jesus. There are people in your workplace who need Jesus. And you may be freaked out by the idea of trying to share the gospel because you feel like you don't have all the answers. My encouragement to you is start the year right by learning to proclaim God, to brag about who he is, to tell your story. And every single time God does something, brag on him, proclaim. And so David says we should praise. He says that we should proclaim. The third thing that we need to start our year with is pursuing. It says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. This word look means to go and search for the purpose of finding. To go and search with this expectation that you're going to find something. And then the word seek means to study to get understanding. Let me capture what David's actually saying. He's saying, seek God, anticipating that you're going to get a greater understanding of who he is. Friends, as you start 2023, some of you have probably thought, I want to pray more. I want to get closer to God. My encouragement with you is don't just seek to pray, but pursue him to get a greater understanding of who he is. A few years ago, I had to take Ainsley's car to go somewhere. I jumped in the car, and to my surprise, the radio was on. What really shocked me when I turned on the car and heard the radio was the songs that were being played over the radio. It was the worst of the worst music I had ever heard in my life. It was the country station. I was completely shocked that my wife was listening to the country station. I had been married to her for over 20 years, and she has the country station on, and I didn't even know she liked country music. I remember coming home afterwards, and I said, hey, I got into your car, and I'm listening to the radio, and it's all country music. What's going on? And she smiles. She says, well, I love country music. And I said, wait a minute. I've been married to you for all these years, and you've liked country music? Listen, when we started dating, I didn't know you liked country music. That's something you should have disclosed to me right from the beginning. We joked about it for a little bit, but the truth is that I had been married to her for over 20 years and was still learning something about my wife. You see, you can be in relationship with somebody for a long period of time and still learn from them. Still learn things about them. In fact, that's the sign of a healthy relationship, that as you continue to grow in your relationship, you are continuing to learn things about the other person. In our pursuit of God, we need to be discovering more of him. You have learned a certain element of who God is, certain characteristics of who God is, certain truths about who God is over the past number of years. But as you go into 2023, I'm encouraging you to pursue God, not just to reiterate the things that you've already heard of him or know about him, not just to go over the stuff that you're familiar with, but to get a greater understanding of who God is. I've told this congregation many times about my own spiritual awakening that took place as a teenager. In those early days of praying, I decided that I would get really serious about praying, and so I decided that I would try to get closer to God. And as I was praying to God, I just focused on the relationship, the fact that he loved me. It was a really meaningful season. Then I went to Bible college. And I began to understand more of who he is, the characteristics of God. And in that time, I also started to understand the power of God. As I pursued him more, I began to realize that there were moments he wanted to step into my life and he wanted the supernatural to work through me. And then I continued to pursue him. And there were moments where he began to reveal to me that he was a gift giver. And there, he started to speak words through me, prophetic words and words of knowledge and discernment. And the gifts of the Spirit would take place in my life. And I began to learn that God was a gift giver. There were moments where I realized that God is just a lover of my soul. He's just a lover of me. The more I seek him, the more I begin to understand him. And in my pursuit of him, I'm always trying to learn something more of who he is. You see, friends, as we go into 2023, it's not about just learning or going over the things that we already know about God, but it's about diving in deeper and getting a deeper understanding of who God is. So pursue God in 2023, not just to get to the place where you've been before, but to understand him with that anticipation that David talked about. We praise, we proclaim, we pursue, and lastly, we pause. Verse 5 says this: remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has pronounced. David says that we are to have recall moments of God. Moments where we recall what God has done. The moments where he's done the supernatural in our life. The moments where he's done the marvelous in our life. The moments where he's released judgments. That's our protection moments. You see, what David is calling us to do is to pause and to reflect on all that God has done. I don't know about you, but I find myself just living in fifth gear all the time. And when you live in fifth gear, and you are so busy, it is hard to pause and to reflect on God's marvelous works, his supernatural works, his blessings, his protection. But David says, we need to pause. I remember when I was a teenager, I was probably about 17 years old, about a year away from going to Bible college, but I was already starting to process the things that I would need for Bible college. And I was there at youth camp in the prayer room, and I was praying with anxiety. I was praying with stress. And I began to talk to God about the things that I needed from him, that I was going to need a car, that I was going to need money for some clothes because there was a dress code at Bible college, that I was going to need money for tuition. And I began to go through the list, and I said, God, I need this, and I need this, and I need this. And I prayed in stress mode. Have you ever prayed in stress mode where you're just dumping on God the things that you need? And I was so stressed out praying, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. And all of a sudden, I had a divine pause moment. The Holy Spirit began to remind me of something that took place when I was 2 years old. When I was two, we lived in Montreal in a townhouse complex. And one day, I was playing with a Fisher-Price toy. And it was this plastic ring that I had been playing with, and the ring slipped out of my hands and rolled into the parking area of our townhouse complex. Just a two-year-old kid, and some of you can't even wrap your heads around a two-year-old kid being playing outside by himself in Montreal, but those were the days where you didn't worry about the kids being abducted and things happening. And so my mom's inside looking out the kitchen window every now and then, and as this toy goes out into the road, there was a lady who was about to leave her parking spot, and so she backed up, and she didn't see me, and she drove over me. She didn't hit me, but as I was bent down, she drove over me, and the back of my shirt got caught underneath the metal of the car. And this lady slowly began to make her way out of the parking area of our townhouse complex with me attached underneath. She was about to go out in the road, but my mom just happened to be in the window looking out, and she came out furiously screaming, "Stop! Stop!" And she started to chase this lady down before she accelerated to a speed that my mom would not be able to catch up with. And my mom got to this lady just before she turned out in the road. Miraculously, nothing significant happened to me. I had a broken collarbone, some skin torn off my back. I was in the hospital for a few days. But had she driven out into the road, I would have died. There's no doubt in my mind I would have been killed because of this unfortunate accident. And here I am, many years later, in Lakeshore Camp, in the prayer room, telling God all about my stresses and about what I need for Bible college, wondering how I'm ever going to get those things to fulfill the call of my life. And this is what God says. He says, I want you to pause. I want you to think back to that moment in Montreal. And I want to ask you a question. Do you think that I preserved you in that moment to call you into ministry and then to leave you hanging? Do you think that I was there 16 years ago to protect you so that I could lead you to a place where you would find your purpose and then not give you what you needed? He said, no, I want you to remember that I was the God who looked after you when you were 2 years old, and I'm the God who's looking after you right now, and I'm the God who will continue to look after you in the future. And in that pause moment, I found myself being relieved of stress and beginning to realize what a great and amazing God I serve. You see, friends, some of us get stuck in our stress. We get stuck in our anxiety. We get stuck in the problems of life. And what we need to do is to simply pause and to look back at what God has done. And you know what happens when we pause? I go full circle back to praising God because I remember what He's done and I remember who He is, and I begin to praise Him again and then want to brag on Him again and proclaim, and that makes me want to pursue Him even more. And then I get to another moment where I pause and I go full circle again. We need to praise. We need to proclaim. We need to pursue, and we need to pause. Let me conclude this message. I'm not much of a golfer. I've been out probably, I can probably count it on two hands. But one of the first times I ever golfed, I had come up to the ball and hit it with everything I had, but my form was terrible. And I shot the ball off into the woods. And I knew that shot was going to create all kinds of ripple effects for the score of this hole. And one of my friends said to me, hey, why don't we give you a mulligan? I said, what's that? He said, well, a mulligan means that you don't count this against you. You start afresh. It gives you an opportunity to change your stance, to work on your swing, to look at where you're going, to do it better this time than you did the first time. And you forget about the first ball. It doesn't even count. You get to start afresh. And so I got up to the ball, took my mulligan, and I approached the ball differently, swung differently, and hit that ball. Probably wasn't fantastic, but it was way better than the first shot. You may be looking back at 2022 and maybe the years that have gone by and thinking to yourself, man, there's been a lot of balls that I've hit into the woods. A lot of mistakes, a lot of regrets, a lot of shame. I want to tell you this. It's January 1st, 2023, and God is giving you a mulligan. He's saying, step up to the ball, change your swing, adjust yourself so that you can approach this year in a brand new way, a fresh start. And the way He wants you to do it is step up and start it with praise in your life. Then proclaim, brag on God wherever you go. And as you brag on Him, pursue Him this year to understand more about who He is and get to a greater level with Him. And when you find yourself going into difficult situations, learn to pause. If you pause, you'll remember how great, how marvelous He is. Those four P's will help you in 2023, because I want you to start well. I want you to have a great year and grab hold of everything that God has for you. And friends, as we conclude this service, I want to pray over everyone. It's going to be a fantastic year. God's got so much in store. Can't wait to see you next Sunday, but let's pray together as we end this service and you continue on with your New Year's Day. Jesus, I thank You for the words of David. I pray that today we would determine we're going to start our year right, that we would be people of praise, that we would be people who proclaim, brag on You all the time, that we would be people who pursue You, not just to learn, to go over the things that we already know, but to learn deeper things about You in 2023. And I pray that we would be people of the pause, that we would take moments to reflect on Your goodness and Your marvelous deeds. And that would drive us back full circle to praising You again. Jesus, we want to live this year to the fullest. And I pray that 2023 would be dedicated to You. Bless my friends now. Let them have a fantastic New Year's Day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, have a happy New Year. We'll see you next Sunday.